The sound of a winding wheel from Cardowan Colliery. And here's iron ore and limestone being thrown into a furnace. Over there are the works from a cotton mill. Rivets and mighty tools from the shipyards. So you'll realise that I've stepped out of the real world. I'm in a museum in Coatbridge in Lanarkshire.
You see all the way up to the top? All the way up to the top.
Yeah!
How do we start up our engine?
Because all these machines are part of history. Iron and steel making is gone. The smoky plants and the wheels at the pit heads and the coal fields, most of the shipyards that lined the lower Clyde, are memories. This is how Scotland has changed. And you can't talk about a new political culture without thinking about this old one. And to complete the picture, outside there's a tram from the old days.
The one we're going to operate is Lanarkshire Tramways number 53, double decker over the top.
Let's get it going, shall we? David Craig, born and bred around here, drives me across the site, getting out to change the points by hand as we go.
The system itself ran from about 1907.
And in a way, what you think of when you sit in a tram like this is that the world that it connected is just so different from the one today. Where did you grow up yourself?
I grew up in Hamilton. When I left school, I was given a list of 15 companies, and within 10 years, the industry I worked with shut down.
Justin Parks, industrial history curator at the Summerlee Museum, describes how it once was.
People very often followed their fathers, their grandfathers into the same job, whether it was miners or, say, in Ravenscraig Steelworks. There would be a line of succession almost. That's changed completely now.
And that was the world, now gone, that made Labour Scotland. Iron and steel, shipbuilding on the Clyde, the coalfields of Lanarkshire and Ayrshire, vast Irish immigration and the Catholic Church, the trade unions. They were the sinews of Labour from its birth at the start of the 20th century. And around Glasgow, the stuff of song and story.
The Jainers and Podders on are marching frick wide by. Come on down and see him, he'll be your drink to bite. Come on, Joke and Jimmy, leave the cran and the muckle gantry. Great John McLean, come and aim to the Clyde.
Hamish Henderson's anthem, written in the 1940s, in memory of John McLean, who was thought by some to be the Lenin of Glasgow during the First World War, and was part of the movement they called Red Clydeside.
Hello, Pat Maloney, I knew you'd be here, son. The blue and the green, my lad, well, we're side by side.
That spirit was conjured up many years later, when the workforce occupied Upper Clyde Shipbuilders in 1971, led by the charismatic Jimmy Reid.
And there will be no hooliganism, there will be no vandalism, there will be no bevying, because the world is watching us.
Jimmy Clockley, in those days a member of the Communist Party like Jimmy Reid, was a co-convener of shop stewards. We spoke on the banks of the Clyde.
The orders were moving forward in the shipyards, and the government refused £6 million working capital. We took them on and we won. It was a major historical victory in many respects, because it was the first time the last century that the old type of Red Clydesider image came forward, and it was led mainly by Red Clydesiders.
Jimmy, we're looking down the Clyde here. What was it like 45 years ago?
You had the docks, of course. Those buildings there were the slipways for where the ships were built. The river was very busy. Just further down there was a large granary, which has been flattened. Right, now we've got the yuppie flats.
Fewer ships and more yuppie flats. In these memories, you sense how this world has turned. In Lanarkshire, the last steel rolled out of Ravenscraig in 1992, and then they blew the plant up. Industrial Scotland had changed. And politics was changing in turn. A Labour government legislated for a Scottish Parliament, established in 1999, sharing power with the Liberal Democrats for the first 8 years, but it was the Scottish National Party that eventually benefited. The novelist Chris Brookmeyer is a supporter of independence who's nonetheless surprised at the depth of the shift in the course of the last year.
It's a change that has its roots in decades. It happened quite slowly, and then there's this acceleration of change in the last 6 months or so. Most people would point to the Thatcher years as the beginning of it. But I felt that something changed quite sharply in the early years of this government.
The referendum said no to independence, but it's clear that deeper forces were at work. And Murray Pittock, Bradley Professor at Glasgow University, describes a prospect that nationalists of the past, in their small numbers in those days, only dreamed of.
If the polls are anything close to being right, that is a huge political moment. After all, for most of the SNP's history, that's been their mandate for independence.
He thinks you've got to go back for more than a century for a comparison.
The closest parallel to this election may be the 1892 election, when the Liberals were 40 seats behind the Conservatives but were able to form a government with the support of the Irish Party, who won 81 seats.
So we're talking of something that is equivalent in what might lie ahead to the struggle for Irish Home Rule.
It's very close to it.
No one doubts the power of the undercurrent, whether they like it or not. Like so many writers and artists, Chris Brookmeyer feels caught up in a movement.
You couldn't describe it as anything other than exciting.
And one of the reasons it always strikes me that there was such a high turnout, nearly 85% across Scotland, in the referendum campaign and the independence vote, was that people, whether they liked the idea or not, and evidently more people didn't like it than did, they had something to vote about that was going to have a consequence.
That energised people, energised a generation of voters that would normally not go near politics.
Back on the Clyde, Jimmy Clochley feels just the same energy.
There's a new dynamism that some of my friends who are opposed to the change that are taking place cannot ignore the reality of what's taking place as we speak today. The SNP, if the polls are correct, will dominate the Scottish scenario. The terminology that's used is that they have lost a moral compass, the Labour Party, and I would like them to get their moral compass back.
You hear a lot of that. The party that lost the referendum, the SNP, is, in many constituencies, chasing the Labour Party from the streets. From the Industrial Museum at Coatbridge, you're within touching distance of seats that were Labour citadels and impregnable. Coatbridge, Cryston and Bells Hill, Airdrie and Shotts, Motherwell and Wishaw, Lanark and Hamilton East, Glasgow East, and the list goes on. A tour of the west of Scotland. But Labour today doesn't regard a single one of those seats as in the bag. Indeed, some have been privately written off already. What that means in the next Parliament, we don't know, but we can say now that this is a moment when a new political culture in Scotland is being forged, as if in the red heat of the furnaces that used to light up the night sky across Lanarkshire. I'm back now on Tram 53, passing through an industrial landscape in Coatbridge, but one that's part of a museum. And it's hard not to reflect on the fact that the enormous changes here that have taken away industry and altered people's lives are no less momentous than the political change that's sweeping Scotland today.